If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man.
Castle.
There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand. Defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso in a tower by the river. Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way.
There's nothing like having your own theme song and being a columnist in Chicago. And doing a podcast, The Chicago Way, with John Cass and Jeff Carlin. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Actually, good whatever time when you're in your car.
Yes.
This is the magic of radio, is it not?
Exactly. The magic of podcast, really.
Hey, yeah, right. It is a podcast. So you could go anytime, anywhere, listen to it in your car or any other activity.
Exactly. And if you're in your car, through Theater of the Mind, it feels like John Cass is in the back seat.
And you're sitting right next to me.
Exactly.
I'm in your lap.
Right.
Physically.
Exactly.
As everyone can hear. Hey, listen, before we get into everything else, I just wanted to say journalism is changing. You've probably read stories about how the newspapers are changing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Print and internet's changing. One of the differences now is that I get up really early in the morning. I get up at 5.
Jeez.
So, what, is that terrible?
No, I mean, the only people I know who get up earlier than you is Steve Cochran or the morning show folk.
Yeah, and I get up at 5, get ready, come down here. I'm here about 6 o'clock. The idea being I want to file a column at 12 o'clock. 11:59 is my goal. I'm getting close to it. And I'll be there pretty soon once I get used to this new arrangement. But, in the old days, as a newspaper guy, you'd get up late, come down, have lunch, hang out with your friends, do some reporting, write the column, go out to drink, maybe hit a night meeting, a political meeting or something, hit another tavern, and then roll in and wake up around 11 o'clock the next morning. That's completely different now. I'm a morning guy now, in a way. You get up at, you see the city differently. And I've been going around the building.
The beautiful Tribune Tower.
The beautiful Tribune Tower. And I've been taking photographs of these amazingly powerful quotes that are carved into the wall at the Chicago Tribune.
Mm.
And I've been sending them out sort of like, today I just took a picture of the Trib and said, get up, Chicago, kick some butt. Then I thought, should I say butt on Twitter?
That's
and
okay.
I did. And that's how we're doing it now. Just get up early in the morning. And the city's different.
Sure.
The city's really different then. You see different types of people. You see workers leaving their shifts, overnight workers. The city's, it's almost cleaner, a little bit more manageable, calmer, different.
Fresh.
Fresh. A new day in Chicago. All right, so that's, I just wanted to say that. I don't know why I told that story. It's kind of a stupid story.
Well, I think it's interesting, though. I mean, it used to be, you'd think that with the advancement of printing technology and digital technology, that getting a story in on time or getting it up to be presented or ready for print, you'd be able to do it later. You could get a story in at midnight and still be up in the paper the next day. You know,
the whole idea was wait till the last moment to see what might be the best story of the next morning.
Right.
But now it's so immediate that people want to read it. Now that I figured out that my best time is noon.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So people are reading it while they're at work, like on their laptops or whatever. Don't people actually work anymore? Or does everyone surf on that?
Everyone surfs.
I don't know.
Google. We all work for Google, right? Technically.
Right? Another thing, before we get into the whole, what's going on this week, what we're really talking about. something happened last week, and you noticed it. We talked about it on the way in. Last week was Valentine's Day week, and I read a column about Betty and I, and, you know, young lovers and how we broke up and we found each other. And whenever you're thinking that nobody's listening, think again. Because when the podcast went up, a man, Tom Marshall, sent me an email, listened to the podcast, and he liked the fact that Scott Stannis and I and were talking about how much we love being married and love our wives. And he wrote this very powerful, heartbreaking letter about a man, how he lost his wife, Brooke, and how he gets very upset every time he hears men rip on their wives. And so we wrote the column. I wrote the column about it for the weekend. And I just wanted to say, Tom, if you're listening to this one and all those of you who got involved on Facebook on that story, it's a podcast, but I do it and Jeff does it for you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what we're doing it for. We're doing it so that we can speak directly to people. And you just can't forget that people are listening and that you can affect their... And does that sound schmaltz?
No, not at all. You know, it's interesting, John. You know, I produced the Roast Show, with Anne of Lantis. And we, a couple weeks ago, gave away tickets to some guy, a listener call. We were doing something fun, whatever. And the guy got sticks.
Third caller,
yeah,
sticks.
Actually, these weren't sticks, tickets, but we did give away some tickets. But this was Scott Stapp, the guy from Creed.
Oh, yeah.
He had some show out the one of the theaters here, and a guy called in last week and said that his wife had died the day after Thanksgiving, and he was heartbroken, obviously. It had been a long battle, but he was, it was something that, seriously affected him. He got the tickets. He won the tickets. He went out and says, I haven't gone out since my wife died. I haven't done anything. I've just been sulking in the despair of losing my wife. And he called just to say, I don't want to be on the air. I just want you to pass this on to Rowan, Anna, that thanks for the tickets, that I forced myself to go out to do something, be myself again. And, it felt great. I had fun. I met some people. And it really made me realize that, as much as I can remember and love my wife as much as I could, now I've got, there is more to just being sad.
There's
a
life.
Yeah, there's something else to do. And there's, I can't let her passing, pass the rest of my life by. And it was amazing just to get that call from someone, I don't know this guy, I haven't seen him.
Right.
But that we affected somebody. It's just amazing that, the stuff you do does affect people deeply.
It does, and we shouldn't forget it. And
absolutely.
Even when people are kicking the crap out, holy crap out of me, like they've been doing this week. I still love you guys.
Sure.
All right, so.
And why are they kicking the crap out of you, Jen?
When I went to Sochi, remember Sochi?
Yeah, the Olympics.
We were at the different station then.
Mm.
And I went to cover the Olympics, it's the Sochi Olympics. And part of it was I wasn't going to go and watch the sporting events.
Sure.
Really, I'm going to.
Fencing?
No, because it wasn't even fencing. It was like curling.
Yeah.
Or skiing through slush in the summer or whatever. It was like it was a warm Mediterranean area, and it was like everything was slush. So I went around the town and I did different things. And one thing I wanted to do was, you must have a proper Russian bath, right?
Sure.
And I thought, this is going to be great. I, you pound down a few vodkas, you go into the sauna, you get hot, then you jump in the cold water. Then you get out, do it again and again and again, and it cleanses you, which is really good. It's better than a workout, really.
Sure.
It's like so relaxing. And after it was over, I talked to the Russian lady of the bath, and I said, there's an old lady.
Right.
All right, relax, everybody. An old lady, and she said, did you like your bath? I said, yes, very much. Now please hit me with a stick. Because
naturally.
I thought, that's what you do,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
Why do they do that? But they do. They hit each other with sticks after their, I don't know, their skin is like prune after the, back and forth, hot water, cold water. Hit me with a stick. She was like, no stick for you. I don't hit with stick. And I've always wanted to, not that I want punishment. I'm not into that whole weird.
You're not 50 Shades of Grey.
No. I'm not into that at all. But I did get hit with sticks big time on a column I wrote this last week about the Supreme Court.
Yes, that's a big one.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue is the President of the United States has the obligation and the right with the death of Antonin Scalia, the great justice that he is, to nominate someone.
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate, unfortunately for some people who want to be partisan meat puppets, the Senate has the obligation or the right to consider or not, or dismiss or not, or walk away from it. But they must approve. So the Senate has said, through the Republicans, they control the Senate now, don't send anybody, we're not going to consider it because it's the election year.
Right, don't waste your time.
Don't waste your time. And now Obama is saying, I'm going to do it, and everyone forgets how he filibustered all the other ones. Everyone's just getting into their tribal issue here. I mean, he filibustered, Hillary filibustered. Hillary's in Chicago right now. She just played the race card on the SCOTUS thing, saying code language. People are against Obama using code language. So she's trying to get gin up the black vote on that. Everyone's playing a game, and I thought the best thing to do would be to suspend it, not do it, have a vote in November 2016 for president and senators, right, which we will, and talk about the importance of the Supreme Court and what it should be doing throughout this election cycle. To have like a civics, well, you should have seen the people. Mm-hmm. They were like, you suck, you stupid, mootses, shame. One woman said, shame on you, shame on you.
Oh,
and I'm thinking, why did I not? I probably didn't explain it right. You know, sometimes you don't hit a home run every day.
Right.
Sometimes you hit a weak little dribbler over first. You know, you think you had a good swing on it and just goes a little foul. But you have a different view.
Well, I agree with you in principle that the president should, has the right to, is required by law to put somebody out there. Right. And the Senate at their whim is required to react on that, and we know what's going to happen. We know how it's going to play out. I think they should do it. I think he should appoint somebody. I think the Senate should filibuster and kill
whatever
it.
They do.
Do whatever they do and go through the actions, because the people who are going to take the place, the president has to pick somebody. The president has to, you know, say, hey, this is who I want.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter what he does. He could pick anybody because he's outgoing and he knows they're not going to get through. So that's fine. But that's on him. If he wants to, you know, if he wants to pick somebody who he thinks there's no chance in hell of their.
Well, is he going to pick a liberal?
Well, most likely, yeah.
Is he going to pick another Antonin Scalia? No.
No, absolutely.
So then what are we doing here? All we're doing is pulling the court and the process into the political mud. It'll be meat puppet mud wrestling.
Yeah.
Right? But you know what the deal is.
Right.
So that's why I'm opposed to it.
Because it's a waste of, essentially, it's a wasted exercise.
There's,
because we know what's going to happen.
Never a waste when people, we could talk about it as citizens and examine it. But it's not going to do anything.
But I think that we do then. I think if you say, if you leave it to, let's say, you know, there are only a couple of outcomes from the presidential race and the Senate race. Outcome number one, a liberal is elected,
sure.
Liberals take over Senate.
Yeah.
A liberal is elected, president, conservatives with
Sanders.
Maintain. Right. And who cares what it is?
Let's say that Hillary Clinton is not indicted, which she probably
right.
will be.
Right.
Right.
Let's ignore whoever it is, because, I mean, that's.
Let's say Donald Trump, another psycho.
Sure. And he wins the presidency.
Not my favorite. Right.
Liberals take over the Senate.
Right.
You know, you have four possible outcomes. So then the argument then will be at that point, well, who is it? And who's
right.
going to select? And then they're going to have to work through it again either way.
But in this, in my view, the civics lesson that we need is to discuss the court long enough so that we come to realize that Scalia's promise and his greatness was not in doing what it's the liberal shorthand is. Scalia opposed gay marriage, and he opposed what else did he oppose? And he supported the Second Amendment.
Right.
And so therefore, we got to get rid of him. And there are people on the right who will say, I want X, Y, and Z, and I need a justice to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That is the modern view of the court. And this is what frightens me, and this is why I wrote the column. Maybe I should write a follow-up. because the pendulum on that swings.
Sure.
And the people look at the Supreme Court as if, and justices too have done their business thinking this, under this rubric, that I'm for X, Y, and Z, and therefore I'm going to push that.
Right.
Scalia was different. Scalia looked at the Constitution, and tried to interpret the original intent. And the reason why that's important and complicated, and will require a whole month's worth of electioneering and discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we're going to have meat puppets on both sides screaming, but ultimately, people should realize that the pendulum swings, and the only thing that protects liberal freedom or conservative freedom is the Constitution,
mm-hmm.
to be interpreted as was written, not I want my I'm pro-life or pro-choice or I'm this or I'm that.
Right, what's hot at the moment.
That's really not the role of the Supreme Court. That's getting what you want politically.
Right.
And that's what it's devolved into. So can you see a scenario? I know it's probably into the weeds here.
Sure.
But can you see a scenario where 50 years from now, everybody's conservative? Or let's put it this way, not conservative. They're all the country is right-wing or let's say Republican. The whole country. The minority view. That's why we have a republic rather than a democracy.
Sure.
Because the republic is protected and the minority view is protected. You can't protect it if people are doing what we're doing right now with Bork. I mean, with Scalia's nominee, people are saying, "What about Bork?" Or "Why did you filibuster you and Hillary, Mr. Obama, filibustered Alito?"
Right.
And back and forth and back and forth. You see how we can lose our freedom as a result of that?
I don't think we lose our freedom in that. I think every time you exercise democracy, even if it's we know the outcome, we know the president's not going to get somebody.
No.
In a sense, can withhold it.
I'm not talking about the narrow issue of whether he'll appoint or not appoint this.
Right.
What I'm talking about is, can you see how we lose our freedom if we don't think about the pendulum swinging back and forth? If we see the court as just another extension of the legislature to get what we want and elect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
That's what bothers me.
But I mean, look at the history. This country has been bitterly divided in the past among political lines.
Yeah, didn't Roosevelt put a KKK guy on the court?
And right? even under Kennedy, I mean, he was hated by so many people.
Right.
And our Supreme Court has still consistently been a middle line. Everybody's worked the way it's supposed to work. It's protected the Constitution. I mean,
it can't continue this way. And it can't withstand this modern belief that the court is to give you what you want.
Sure.
And that's what we have now, and that's why I want a discussion and an election so that maybe the people running for office,
mm-hmm.
in the Senate and in the executive.
But what better way to get what those people are going to, what they stand behind, in forcing them to come out and talk about the Supreme Court?
Yes, that's what I want them to do.
Right.
Not do meat puppet theater like they'll do now with Schumer saying, "I said something before, but now it's different." Or Grassley on the other side,
right.
"I said something before and it's different." That's partisan stuff.
But they're going to have to do that either way, and they're going to have to to win an election and to force this issue upon them before the election, force them to either say, "Hey, you know, what do you want out of a Supreme Court justice? Make a stand. We're going to throw a nominee at you, you know, do it."
I understand
it.
What's going to happen.
I know we all understand what's going to happen, but I think every time we do it, it makes it stronger. It lets people like yourself, it lets people, you know, like David Axelrod, to come out and say, "Hey, this is what we need to do for
Supreme
Court."
Thanks for putting me in that company.
But
the other horn on that goat's head, yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, people who strongly understand what democracy and politics are really about. I mean, push comes to shove. I'm sure if you ask David Axelrod for his goals as a professional, he would want somebody that falls in line with his views. But if you talk to him as a political scientist, somebody who knows what is at stake here in the long term, I think he would agree with you. I think he would agree that that there needs to be a discussion. You need to understand the importance of having the right.
But people
person.
Don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear that there's no right to privacy in the Constitution. They want, I want an abortion, and that's it, and shut up.
Right.
They don't want to hear that the executive doesn't have the power to do many of the things it does.
Right.
Because the Congress is lazy, just like the aldermen are lazy in Chicago, yeah. And the mayor has a staff and works harder.
Right.
And just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so, all right, so we'll have to agree to disagree on this.
I don't even think you and I actually disagree. I think we know it's not going to happen now. We know it's. I think they need to go through. They need to go through the motions. I know it's posturing, but I think it forces the posturing. It forces the discussion. And as many times as you can get people to just talk about the importance of the Supreme Court, if it's now before an election and it gets failed, and then again it comes up after the election, and it actually gets somebody through, I think it's good for you. I think it's good for all of us.
It's good, except when politicians get involved like this. Here's Hillary Clinton this week talking about the Supreme Court, saying, and this is the woman who filibustered Alito,
right?
And now she's saying, she's criticizing this move by the Republicans, saying we're not going to consider. She says, you know, that's in keeping what we've heard all along, isn't it? Many Republicans talk in coded racial language about takers and losers. They demonize President Obama and encourage the ugliest impulses of the paranoid fringe. This kind of hatred and bigotry has no place in our politics or our country. The president has the right to nominate. Now, if that's not the lowest, sleaziest, gutter slime discussion from a person who's desperate to get black votes in South Carolina, I don't know what is. But see, that's what I'm worried about. That kind of perversion of my argument or of the other arguments. No. Mm-hmm. Do I know that the Republicans are partisan? Yes. Guess what? I'm not a Republican, okay, everybody? Are the Democrats partisan? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You see this kind of talk? That's what I'm talking about. If you put it in the electorate's hands and have a thorough discussion, I don't know, maybe I hope that we'd have a civilized and elevated debate, and really what we're just going to do is root in the mud with our tusks like a bunch of hogs.
Yeah, that's us.
Let's do it. Okay, hog rooting. Hog rooting. Let's go, Suey! All right.
Well, that ends our SCOTUS discussion for this
week.
Yeah,
I just had to get it through. People kicked my butt on Facebook. I tried to fight them back. Even friends of mine and colleagues are like, John, what are you talking about?
It was incredible, too. I mean, less than an hour after it was announced that he was dead, the barbs were coming out left and right from people on Facebook and Twitter.
So important.
Absolutely. But a man died. I mean, he has a family. He has a kid. He has kids.
Did you hear some of the comments from the left from journalists? Were reprehensible.
Oh, yeah.
Like, can I be, how long do I have to wait till I don't have to pretend I'm sad?
I know.
And this guy was a great man. Even Elena Kagan, Justice Kagan, all the justices on the liberal side love this guy.
The Ruth Bader Ginsburg is like his best friend.
Does she like hunting or the opera?
I think so.
I had a smoke with him once.
Did you really?
Yeah, with Antonin Scalia.
Nice. Tell that story, John.
We were at one of those stupid Washington dinners where you wear tuxedos. I forget whether it was White House Correspondents' Dinner or the Gridiron. One of them you wear a white tie and tails, and the other you
Gridiron is the white tie.
Yeah, I hate all those. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, look at all these people kissing the butts of politicians performing for them, right? Somebody said to me, and I just said, I just can't stand all this butt kissing. And the guy said, me neither. You got an extra smoke? And I'm like, you're Italian, right? He goes, yeah, I'm Italian. You know? And we had a smoke. And it was just, you know, we didn't talk, you know,
sure.
Legal theory or anything.
No.
I don't remember. I just remembered a very pleasant, decent guy.
Yeah, that's what everybody says.
You know? just you could see the intelligence in his head.
Oh man, I mean, talk about witty. I mean, his torture.
But not like a fake witty.
No, no. I mean, you know, calling people out for things and
just, his friends.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I enjoyed him. I mean, I think I differ on some of his opinion, but I respect him. Like you said, the pendulum theory is absolutely. This country needs it. Sometimes this country needs strict conservatism. Sometimes it needs liberalism to advance certain things. It swings.
I just think we need the Constitution of the United States interpreted as written to protect the delicate experiment of the Republic for which it stands.
One nation under God.
Thank you. All right, enough politics.
Speaking of the public, John, let's get some questions because this is our favorite part.
Oh, you like this? Now, what are we doing here? Explain.
Every week, John puts out a call to action on his Facebook, Twitter, you know.
Pages.
His pages. Right. He'll explain that story why he has two pages someday. So John asks for questions, and we take them, and we'll talk.
Because we're going to ask, and as long as it's not boxers or briefs.
Right, boxers or briefs, because I think we got that question, and you decided to.
I did not, yeah.
Did not
answer. Somebody said, what do you sleep in?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And the buff, John?
I'm a married man. All right.
Exactly. So, all right, anyway, so we've got questions for John always, and here we go. Let's lock and load. this one gets right to the heart of things, John. What's good to use on cockroaches? This is Dave Hucker. Springfield's Illinois. Springfield seems to be infested with them. Now they're springing up locally. These cockroaches, however, seem to be attracted to our school district money rather than sugar.
Cockroaches are always attracted to the main sugar of Illinois, which is your money. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way to deal with it is, look, if you, and I don't want to be partisan here, but this is just the truth. If you vote for a Democrat for the House or Senate in Illinois, you are voting for Mike Madigan and John Cullerton to continue to be the bosses that they are. If you like that, vote for it.
Chicago
if you
way.
Don't, it's a Chicago way. Why not have two little leprechauns running the whole show and some big bull moose breaking china in the china shop, Bruce Rauner, not knowing how to deal with it.
Exactly. Right? And funny, as we record this, this is the marks the day that he will give his second budget address, Bruce Rauner will, without passing his first budget.
Well, it's not the Democrats, Democrat Madigan controlled the legislature, offered a budget,
yeah,
and it was $5 billion in the red.
Right.
See, that's I don't know. Is that how you run your household finances?
Not at all.
Right. So I'm
not blaming Blaine. I'm just I love the irony of the fact that he's giving his second budget address,
and he's the one taking the heat, right? Rauner, really?
Yeah.
Why is that? You who are so wise in the ways of media. All right, let's podcast. I want to talk about stuff that we don't usually talk about in the news.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a producer for how long now? Radio producer?
About 6 years.
Long time.
But, yeah.
And by the way, he's very good at it. You book guests.
Mm-hmm.
You get guests on. Let's accept whatever happened at WGN that you're doing now. Let's take that out of the equation.
Sure.
Just go hypothetically in the past, okay? Whatever that means. But you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. We're not going to dump on WGN. You get these politicians on, how are they usually treated when they're interviewed?
By
us, by the so-called talent.
The talent
I've done
yeah.
it myself.
Oh,
and I've regretted it.
Well, I mean, it's live, so people are making split-second reactions to what you're doing, so you're not trying to be confrontational to the point where you push them away. It's a give and take. You know, they've got an agenda, you've got an agenda, and you try to meet somewhere in the middle. And hopefully your agenda sounds better than their agenda.
Let's put it this way. I have interviewed people. Jeff has got them as guests in the past in another life. And I remember early on, Jeff, you coming up to me going, look, this is not your column. This is a radio program.
Right.
Please don't, like, tell the guy to screw off.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you know, right away.
Right. Don't laugh too hard when
don't
he says something ridiculous.
Yeah, right.
They know. They absolutely they any know power, the they know they're going to come in. They know there's going to be a tough question.
Right. Don't they like broadcast because they can dominate by filibustering in the microphone?
The ones that are good at it. Yeah, the ones that are good at it, for sure. They like, I mean, look at, take a prime example, Donald Trump. He's a guy who loves media because he is so smooth. He is so, you know, quick-witted, and he can talk and talk and talk and distract. And Bob Bass, yeah, he can distract with his words easily from what, you know, people are trying to ask
like
him questions.
Clinton.
Right, like exactly, like Clinton. So those guys never shy away from media. The ones that do are the ones you have to worry about, because those are the ones that, like a Rahm Emanuel, that they rule through press release, and they don't, they won't talk to the media. They hide from you. They make the media jump through a thousand hoops to get access to them, and then when they do, it's only little bits and pieces and stuff's redacted, and it's not the true message. Those are the ones you have to worry about, because what are they hiding? You know, if he can't have a, he can't stand behind what they're doing in a conversation or in words in front of somebody else, then what are they doing? They're
have
doing.
You ever had, have you ever had political or elected officials or political people tell you as a producer, your talent or whatever, you guys can ask X, Y, Z, but not ABC? Or let's stay away from ABC and not.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there. We've,
it's what's done. In, this is real life we're talking about.
Right. It, it definitely happens. I mean, it's. I never promise, and there's, you know, there's an unwritten rule between talent and producers that, you know, I will say sure, we'll avoid something, and a talent can, you know, it's a mea culpa. Oh, I didn't know, or right. I didn't know I shouldn't ask that question, or, you know, apologize after the fact, you know. Do it
but
first.
You won't get them again.
Right, and you, or it might be a long time before you get them again.
And that's the whole thing. You want that, hey, I've got the mayor on. The mm-hmm. mayor. Hey, this is John Kess, and every 5 seconds we're going to break for a commercial, but in those 4 seconds, oh, okay, break, and now we're back. Yeah. The mayor's here.
Right.
Right? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And right. But you do, I mean, the ones who are great at it, and the ones who, the not the talent, but the politicians,
right,
who don't shy away from it, and will fight you on something, who stand up for what they think they believe in. Those are the ones that are most entertaining anyway.
Who do you like? Who's good at it?
Who's good at it that
you've heard? That you've,
well, you know who is somebody who got rest her soul? Judy Barta Pinka. I mean, she was one of the types that she, you know, she would, you could ask her anything. And even if she thought she was absolutely in the right, you know, she would, and you were trying to set a trap for her or anything, she would run with it. And she would talk, and she would defend herself.
Right.
And she always made at least salient points and had nothing to hide.
She had guts, and mm-hmm. she and I had big-time fights over the endorsement or non-endorsement of Senator Peter Fitzgerald,
mm-hmm.
which paved the way for Barack Obama to rule the world, okay? And we used to have fights, and then I'd see her at that other place, at that other station,
mm-hmm.
and she was cool about it. You know, it was like, let it go, you know?
Absolutely.
Right? And yeah, I liked her. I liked her a lot. She was plucky.
Plucky, and you respect somebody who, like that. I mean, it's it. The people who say, "Oh well, we won't talk about that." The X, Y, and Z, whatever
it grown-ups.
Is. No, they're not grown-ups, and they're people. Then you're like, well, you know, then there's no point in having to talking to you, because right. then I will just talk about what you told us and what you told us not to talk about, and that becomes a bigger story. And if someone, you know,
it's kind of like that Hillary thing with the Atlantic magazine,
mm-hmm.
where if you haven't followed it. The Atlantic magazine agreed to, we'll get the first Hillary speech on the subject, but then her press secretary said, just make sure you refer to it as muscular, which is what I think when I think of Hillary Clinton in that pantsuit.
Oh, boy.
Barking.
Yeah, geez.
I think muscular. Anyway, go on. I hope you don't mind me asking all these questions,
absolutely.
Jeff, but this is the kind of thing that I think people don't really get a chance to listen to.
Right, and the nice thing about radio is that if someone says to you, "Oh no, I don't want to talk to your talents because they're too tough or they're whatever,"
right.
then that becomes a story, and then that becomes a storyline that you can exploit, and maybe they'll want to change that storyline.
So and so did not want to come on.
Yeah, we'll find someone who counters them, because those people are always somebody to say the opposite, and you get that person on and in conversation say, you know, yeah, and we've been offering, but this is what they've told us. They're too worried, and then that becomes
an issue,
and that way you can turn it a little bit and make it more about them not doing their job.
That's how you do
That's
it.
How
That's
it
how
is.
It's played.
All right, John, here's a question.
Yeah.
Juan Rivera, will John Kass ever consider running for mayor of Chicago or governor of Illinois?
Yes, I will consider it. Juan Rivera, I'm going to consider it. Here's my rule. I will make soccer the main sport. If I'm the governor, I will spread it statewide. I will insist that soccer is the main sport. Get rid of all the other ones. And same thing as mayor. Basketball, forget it. Soccer, all the way.
So you will pave over all the concrete basketball hoops with grass.
I'll just leave the concrete there, use those little tiny, 6-foot goals
mm-hmm.
like they do in Europe, and all the kids play
oh, yeah.
on concrete.
There yeah. you go. Yeah, there
play
you.
With the feet, baby.
Here, John, here's a question. Hey, Cass, how do you like it when someone shares your column and you read it in the comments, or you read in the comments that somebody is calling you a bad name, like asshat? Is that fun? The bookie from Libertyville. So I guess it was something.
There is a bookie from Libertyville. Actually, in that, let's put it this way, in the area
sure.
near Libertyville.
But known to a
very, very powerful one, I hear. Yeah, it was the SCOTUS column, the Supreme Court column.
Mm-hmm.
People shared it, then I'd read, what a jerk, what a ass hat. I'm like, what does that mean? Do I put a hat on my butt? What is that? I don't get it.
Yeah, you are what a butt would wear. I don't know.
On your head?
It's
if you put your yeah. if you put a like a little fedora on your ass.
I think it's yeah. a play on having your head up your own ass.
I see. Yeah. That's what happens when people disagree with you.
You know? How does that make you feel, John?
It makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
I curled up in a little ball and rocked myself to sleep.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Here's a serious question, and I've actually
right.
I'd love to get your take on this. Peter Bello, who is your bet for the next superintendent of police for Chicago? An insider, an outsider, or a civilian?
Civilian insider.
Yeah.
Lori Lightfoot.
You think?
Yeah, she says she's not.
Yeah, she keeps, I mean, everyone who asks her, she says
not,
no.
And she's told me, or through Will Lee when he was working with me, no, I'd like to talk to John, but no. I think that somebody who's... They're not going to pick an outsider.
Right.
This is Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago way.
You cannot, you know, a mayor can't. I don't know what the heck the mayor's going to do.
Yeah.
He's got to do something. Now, John Escalante's getting lit up.
Yeah.
There's another case that's going to come and bite him. He's the interim. You've been around in a police department as a boss for a long time. Certain things are going to come back at you. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens there.
But there's no way it's an outsider, but it's got to be a civilian, right?
It doesn't have to be.
I mean, just for image sake.
Does it soften it up? Part of it is, okay, could we just, since we're speaking the Chicago way,
yeah.
and this we talk honestly to people as best we can. You have a white mayor, chances are you'd want a black police chief.
Yeah.
Chances are you'd want to arrange the happy citizens behind you at news conferences to have the... three black women, the Asian, and the two Latinos, and maybe some white guy who looks like he lives in Lakeview. You know what I mean? You want
yeah.
a hipster. You want somebody like that.
Right.
And it's all image. It's who the deputy is.
Right.
That counts. Who are the deputies?
I mean, from what I've seen from Escalante, I think he's a strong deputy, and I think if you want to, I mean, keep him.
Why
keep
can't
him,
he run it?
Yeah, why can't he keep running? Because he's
right.
done a pretty good job. I mean, it's been a short time, but still. Here we go, John. Here's a question from Ken Tripp. Hey, John, how hot should your average grill be for one of your kebab recipes?
The kebab is a flash-cooked meat, all right? And you do not cook it slow. If you have a pork, usually pork tenderloin, or I prefer the shoulder, but I marinate it or brine it for like 6 to 8 hours if I'm using a shoulder. On occasion, I'll start the kebab in a indirect position,
mm-hmm.
you know, with heat on the side, and I'll throw a chunk of wood on there, and I'll let them sit and roast a little bit, and then flash cook them at the end. Or you just put them directly, if you have the tightly, you know those tight-packed kebabs?
Yeah.
You've seen them, right? Like meat, onion, that's it, they're tight. You just put them on the fire directly.
So
just keep turning.
Lots of heat.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go, John. Here's another good question.
I'm starting to get hungry now.
Yeah, me too. Will the Cubs ever win another World Series?
Yes. You know, I think this is their year, the Cubs.
I hope so.
This is their year.
Did you see the USA Today poll or mock-up? They did their prospectus on teams' wins, and they had the Cubs at like 102 wins or something like that, and the Sox at 90.
I'd say the Cubs 154 wins, easy,
because
of the Cubs and because they're going to win. And if you listen to sports radio in this town,
yeah,
the way to get because I didn't know this, I thought you spoke. That's why I like the podcast, because on sports radio you just try to troll and get people crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and I'd say 152 wins easy because they are the Cubs. They're great. The Sox, they just let us hang out.
150 wins. That's ridiculous.
What is it?
They only play 120 games in a regular season.
But these are the Cubs, and they've got speed. They have power. Did they get rid of the right fielder yet?
No.
The left fielder?
I don't think so.
Now Cub fans want the DH in the National
League.
Yeah,
well,
you can see why. Schwarber, right? Hey, listen, March 6th, save the date. Chicago Fire open at Toyota.
Oh, I love.
I'm just saying.
The nice thing about the Chicago Fire is their season starts in March, and then if all goes well, it doesn't end until October.
I tried to. Did I
That's
get you tickets
long...
when it was freezing?
You did.
It's too cold for me.
Yeah,
and
you
went
and
froze.
We went first.
They sucked.
It was
right?
our first playoff game, and it was Halloween night. So it was October 31st on the South Side, and it was freezing. Luckily, we snuck in.
I gave my playoff tickets to
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
I must have been at the game then. Or no, we went together.
Yeah, you were no, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Right.
We went together. That was three years ago.
Yeah,
they don't make the playoffs now.
No.
They suck now.
But I think you gave us tickets too for like a March game too. A year after that, and it was.
I don't know why. What happened to those July tickets, baby?
I don't know.
Sorry.
Oh, beautiful.
The boys claim those now.
I don't blame them. It's a good time. That's a great stadium. All right, John. Here I got two more questions for you. I got a Hillary Clinton question for you. This is from Hugh Totten.
Uh-huh.
If Hillary becomes our next president, will there be a Sharia-like law imposed requiring women to wear pantsuits with full-length Chairman Mao Uncle Fester jackets?
Okay, what's wrong with the Hillary pantsuit? I might have to wear one myself.
You should. John?
You know, if Donald Trump is the nominee,
uh-huh.
I might have to go Hillary. I don't know what the hell I'd do. Wear a pantsuit, kill myself, or go to Canada?
Here's an idea for a column, John.
Jeez, yeah.
You get a pantsuit,
right.
And you wear it for a day, and you write about your experience. And you just pretend you live the life of Hillary Clinton for a day.
Where's Humana?
Well, we'll find someone to be.
I need Humana with me so I could like share my secret
Humana, John, Humana is, I think you're thinking of Humana, which is a healthcare company. Just Uma.
Huma. Why did I say Humana?
I don't know. I think you're thinking of
Huma,
the health insurance
Huma,
company.
What's her last name?
Uma Abedin?
No.
Yeah.
Well, who's she married to? The guy who like.
Oh,
put
yeah,
on
Mr.
TV.
Wiener.
Mr. Wiener,
literally.
Right?
Yeah.
She's married to that guy.
Yeah,
are they divorced? Are they
no,
married?
No, they're still together.
Wiener is the former candidate for, he's a congressman.
Was a congressman.
And then he put his junk on the phone.
Yeah, he took a picture of his junk. He didn't put his junk on the phone.
No, he didn't do like a stepbrother.
Right, exactly. Right. Or a Peyton Manning thing. You see that? Oh, jeez.
When I saw that Peyton Manning, I saw a headline of it, I just shut down.
I know.
Call me I ripped on Cam for being a baby, powdered baby, but I saw that headline, I just shut down. I didn't even want to look at it.
I'm
done
with
football. At it?
No, I mean, I read it. Because it's part of my job, but
yeah. So
I was,
you want to be a journalist, not like me. So what is it real?
It seems real. For those people who don't know, and you can check the story. USA Today has kind of caught wind of this, but the reporter wrote briefly about the rumor that he had heard about Peyton Manning in college, his family covering something up.
So that's what you do as a reporter: is you write about a rumor that some guy told you.
Well, it was a footnote in a larger column. Uh-huh. I mean, he was just saying that this is something that had been out there. He was talking about Cam versus Peyton.
Right. And Peyton's so good.
And right. And he's saying that
Cam's such a little baby.
People just kind of whitewash Peyton for anything bad he might have done.
Right.
And so then this reporter gets a file sent to him, a PDF file, with all the court records that supposedly were sealed or were not publicly accessible or people didn't know to get them. And it details a story where Peyton Manning lays his genitals on a female who was a doctor working for the university he was at.
Was this consensual?
No, she was working on his ankle or his knee or something like that. He's sitting on a bench, and he lays his genitals on her head. Then supposedly there's a huge cover-up involving the university, involving his family. They disparaged her name. She went to court over it, and it was eventually, I believe, it was settled. But the story is out there, but no one has talked about it until recently, and it's startling.
God, you know what? Just for you saying that, hearing that now, I feel a little older, meaner, and less human. Peyton Manning?
Mm-hmm.
He was a kid, right?
Yeah.
Still.
He was still a kid, but no excuse.
Assault. Okay, everybody, just switch to soccer. What do we have?
Exactly.
A little guy from, I forget, where is he from? Ecuador? That bites people. Where is he from? The biter.
Yeah, I think it's Ecuador. I think it's Ecuador.
Ecuador? Yeah.
Here's a final question. We had some snow over the weekend, so it's probably our last Judge Dibbs question for you. What is from Robert Bressler? What additional taxes, fines, and fees can impose on the people of Chicago? I'm assuming it's rhetorical because it goes on to say, "I'm all for charging a fee to lease a Dibs spot. Would the Supreme Court rule that to be constitutional?"
The Supreme Court has no standing in this case. Right. This is the Dibstitution that takes precedence. You cannot. That would involve the city leasing a spot. All right, they already do that with parking meters and so forth. This would be Dibs. You cannot lease a Dibs spot.
Non-transferable.
It's non-transferable. You dig it out. You keep it until I say otherwise. And, you know, unless the snow, you can't drive over the snow. You really can't have Dibs. I mean, and don't call Dibs if it's like 2 inches of snow and you're driving an SUV, like a Range Rover down Lakeshore Drive.
Exactly.
You know, because you need those.
Right.
Right. You can't have it.
The mountains from the north.
Yeah, the mountains. The tundra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the last question I have for you, John. What's on the docket for the column this weekend?
Well, I'm going to write about, let's see, we have the SCOTUS thing. You know, sometimes am I losing it? I forget what I wrote. Like, you know, it's this new schedule now.
Sure. Oh, I mean.
You know, it's like I write something, edit it, and then I still have the rest of the day to work on the next thing, and then it's like two things in the same day. I gotta start, now that I get up in the morning, I can't go out at night. I gotta be in bed by 7 to get up at 5. They're gonna kill me with this new thing.
Yeah.
They're gonna, you know, it's like there's no, I'm just not used to not reporting everything out, but I gotta report it the night before and then write it the next day. Anyway, you know what? You don't really want to hear me complaining and whining about all that nonsense. What you want to do is hear the Chicago Way. I hope you tune in again and read the column in the Chicago Tribune and listen to the stylings of Ro Khan in the afternoon on WGN because Jeff Carlin is the producer.
It's a great show.
It's a great show. And, and all the guests, the whole thing is his brain. Thanks a lot, everybody. Talk to you next week.